This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Bucks game is over. And now it's time for the longest running postgame show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
Let's go. 12 points in the second half.
The head coach.
Again, his speed. You can't teach speed. You know, he knows how to use it.
And the fans. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show. Presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza. Now, here's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
To the surprise of nobody, the Bucks lose to the Philadelphia 76ers tonight without Giannis, without Malcolm Brogdon. Hey, it's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Jeff Orlowski producing the show tonight. And you will be the other valuable participant to our postgame show tonight. 116-94, Sixers over the Bucks. And I will tell you this, after the first quarter, I was like, oh boy, they may put up 148 like the Thunder did earlier today against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Thankfully, that did not happen, but they scored 37 points in the first quarter, did the Sixers. Bucks make it closer, down by only six heading into halftime, and then you get to the start of the second half and the third quarter. Bucks cut it to within two, and then what happens? Three straight turnovers, and all of a sudden it's a 10-point game again, and then it's on. Tie the game several times, not able to get yourself over the hump were the Milwaukee Bucks, and of course, that is the issue at the end. They get outscored 32 to 14 in the fourth quarter of this one, and they get beat. Chris Middleton did have a triple-double in the loss, 23 points, 14 rebounds, and 10 assists for Middleton on 9 of 20 shooting tonight. I guess that would be one highlight. The other highlight would be Sterling Brown got a ton of minutes tonight, 39 minutes, 14 points for Sterling Brown on 4 of 7 from three-point range, a couple of boards, a steal, and two turnovers for Sterling Brown. All five starters for the Bucks, even John Henson, got double figures tonight for Milwaukee. The bench, 17 points total. Marshall Plumlee makes his debut for the Bucks tonight. 6 points, six boards, and a couple of turnovers. He looked good, especially there in the first half of the basketball game. A maker with 6 points, not a single rebound for Thon in 16 minutes. Dellavedova, 17 minutes. He had 5 points, four boards, three assists, and a steal. So he filled up the box score in the 17 minutes that he was out there. Bucks shoot 40% from the field tonight. Bucks now, after the loss tonight to the Philadelphia 76ers, find themselves just one game over 500 at 23-22. And the Sixers now 22-20, 11-10 at home are the Philadelphia 76ers. First off and foremost, if you expected them to win without Giannis and Malcolm Brogdon, I apologize for you thinking this team had enough talent on it to win without Giannis and Malcolm Brogdon against a pretty good 76ers team. This is a team that's amongst the leaders in rebounds, assists, passes per possession. They play basketball the right way for the most part, and it shows, obviously. For them tonight, just a night for Joel Embiid, nothing new. 29 points, 9 boards for them. All five of their starters also in double figures tonight. Bench scoring, 29 points for them. McConnell led the way with 11 points off the bench. They shoot almost 53% from the field, again, compared to the Bucks, 40%. Turnovers, 16 for Philly. Very un-Philly-like, I guess you could say. They don't turn over the ball a whole much. 17 for the Milwaukee Bucks this evening. Free throws, 16-19 for Philly. 18 of 22 for the Bucks. 10 of 25 from 3 for Philly. 10 of 32 for Milwaukee. This is what I know, that if Milwaukee had them Giannis and Brogdon, and then you factor in Jabari Parker, Sixers have no chance against this team. None. They don't have a prayer. So I realize a lot of you are going to get all upset and worked up. Oh, my God, Jason Kidd's awful. They should have beat Philly without without Giannis and Malcolm Brogdon, Philly's not that good. Look at the record, says everybody that hasn't watched Philly play this year and hasn't seen their schedule. Which is fine. I don't expect everybody to follow every team in the NBA. I totally get it. But do realize, when you add Giannis and Brogdon, this is a different basketball team. That's a lot of points you're losing. And then you add Jabari's offense, that's a lot more points you're going to add to it as well. And that's without them adding another player or two at the NBA trade deadline coming up here in a couple of weeks. I was very encouraged by Marshall Plumlee. I don't know about you or what you thought about Marshall Plumlee's performance tonight, but there in the first half, he gave him a little bit of energy. He gave him some toughness. I think Marcus Johnson used the word girth against Joel Embiid tonight. Frustrated him a little bit there in the first half. So I like seeing that. Now, I know what the next question is going to be is, well, Sparky, how long do we have to wait for him to take minutes away for Thon Maker? That's a Jason Kidd question. I couldn't tell you. Kidd seems very loyal to Henson and Maker and making sure they get their minutes. I think it's going to be harder than we think for Plumlee to take minutes from Thon Maker. Maker is one of Kidd's guys, clearly. Marshall Plumlee just arrived. But the fact that he just got here and played already, that's obviously a good sign. And he definitely adds a physical presence that they don't have right now on this basketball team. Sterling Brown showed again tonight that he deserves more run. I mean, I don't know how many other which ways to look at this, but he deserves more run. Now, I would be completely fine, and I don't know what you guys think, but I would be fine if Sterling Brown, excuse me, was in the starting lineup for this team going forward. Brogdon goes back to the bench, him and Tony Snell, and you can play Sterling Brown with Bledsoe, with Middleton, with Giannis, with Henson. And then you have Brogdon and Snell on the bench, along with Dellavedova and Maker, or Plumlee, I guess you go that way too, going forward. And that gives you another scorer off the bench, but also still allows you to have a shooter from outside in Sterling Brown, a guy who also can get to the rim too and help out that way and create his own shot. So I'd be fine with that. Now, whether or not Kidd, who probably doesn't really want to play a lot of inexperienced guys all that many minutes because, you know, they're trying to get to the playoffs and be a home court team in the playoffs, whether or not he's going to go along with that idea or that concept, I have no idea. But I think Sterling Brown provides enough that you have to consider putting him into the starting lineup with Eric Bledsoe. Now, there's going to be no Giannis for the next game, too. Monday night against the Hawks at the BMO Harris-Bradley Center. Now, that game, whether or not Brogdon is back or not, you should be able to win that game. Even without Giannis, even without Brogdon, with what you have, I would expect you to win that basketball game for sure. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. If you're on hold, we'll get you coming up after this quick timeout. Bucks lose tonight 116-94. You're listening to the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show, presented to you by Palermo's King Frozen Cheese Pizza. It's a half a pound of cheese, people. It's a lot of cheese. You're on the Fan.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video, home entertainment and commercial audio video. Simply done right. ABCAudioVideo.com. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show.
Welcome back, Bucks. Come up, losers tonight, as expected. No Giannis, no Malcolm Brogdon, playing a talented Philadelphia 76ers team at Philly on top of it, 116-94. Quickly go inside the box. I see everybody on hold. We will get you. If you want to jump aboard, you can. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. John Henson tonight, 23 minutes, 4 of 6 from the floor, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 11 points, 4 boards, 1 assist, 1 block, and 1 turnover. Chris Middleton, 40 minutes, 9 of 20 from the floor, 1 of 5 from 3-point range, 4 of 4 from the line. A triple-double, as you heard in Jeff's sports flash there, 23 points, 14 boards, 10 assists, a steal, 3 turnovers in 40 minutes. Eric Bledsoe, 38 minutes, 5 of 18 from the floor, 1 of 6 from 3-point range, 3 of 5 from the free throw line, 14 points, 3 assists, 5 steals, a block, and 3 turnovers. Sterling Brown, 39 minutes. He got the start as well. 5 of 9 from the floor, 4 of 7 from 3-point range, 0 of 1 from the line, 14 points, 2 boards, a steal, and 2 turnovers. Tony Snell, 38 minutes, 6 of 12 from the floor, 3 of 7 from 3-point range, 15 points, 4 boards, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 1 turnover. The bench, 16 minutes for Thon Maker, 2 of 6 from the floor, 0 of 1 from 3, 2 of 2 from the line, 6 points, 1 assist, 1 block, 1 turnover. 17 minutes for Dellavedova, 1 of 4 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3-point range, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 5 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, a steal, and 2 turnovers for Dellavedova. 9 minutes for Marshall Plumlee, 1 of 1 from the floor, 4 of 4 from the line, 6 points, 6 boards, and 2 turnovers. 8 minutes for Jason Terry tonight. He missed both 3-pointers he took, had 1 assist, and 1 turnover. 6 minutes for Sean Kilpatrick, 0 of 2 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3-point range for Kilpatrick. Didn't register a stat across the board outside of those 2 misses. Also had DJ Wilson with 2 minutes. He registered no numbers across the board. Rashad Vaughn also got junk time, 2 minutes. And in those 2 minutes, he did create a turnover. Xavier Munford got in for 2 minutes and immediately took 2 shots. Also had a rebound but did not score. 40.2% shooting for the Bucks tonight, 52.9% for the Philadelphia 76ers. They were led by Joel Embiid with 29 points and 9 boards. All 5 of their starters reached double figures, including 16 points, 8 boards, 9 assists, a steal, and 4 turnovers from Ben Simmons. From 3-point range, 10 of 25 for the Philadelphia 76ers, good for 40%. 10 of 32 for Milwaukee, 31.3. From the charity stripe tonight, 16 of 19 for the Sixers, 18 of 22 for the Bucks. Rebounding, 45 for Philly, 35 for Milwaukee. Turnover, 17 for the Bucks, 16 for the Philadelphia 76ers, who win 116 to 94. They're now 22 and 20, 11 and 10 at home in Philly. The Bucks now fall to 23 and 22. 9-13 away from the BMO Harris Bradley Center. And as Jeff said in the Sports Flash, next up Monday night at home against the Atlanta Hawks. Currently, as it sits, as we look at the standings, the Bucks sit in the 8th and final spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs at 23-22, a half game in front of the Detroit Pistons, who are 500, 22 up and 22 down. Then the Knicks are 13 back, and then the Hornets 15, the Bulls 16 in the East. Now, also, we should also note that they are half game behind the Pacers for 7, half game behind the Sixers for 6, and currently sit 4 games behind Cleveland for the 3 spot in the Eastern Conference. So it is tight across the board, but they were currently, if the playoffs started today, would still technically be in the playoffs. Justin in North Carolina, as always, you lead it off here on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. What's up?
Hey, Spark, I got real 2 quick things I want to talk to you about the game tonight. First of all, the other night when I called in, we were talking about talent.
Yep.
This is a perfect example of it. The talent of the Philadelphia 76ers won this game. There are certain games where you can pencil in a roster and they should win the game.
Right.
That's what my point was about losing to the Heat, that we had more talent than them.
Right.
They out-executed us. This 76ers team did what they should have did. Without Giannis, without Brogdon, they're superior. Even if we had Brogdon and Giannis, I'm not sure. It's maybe a 50-50 battle, in my opinion, right now. The other quick thing I want to get to you and talk to you about the game tonight, Sparky, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, man. He completely disrespected the Bucks organization during that last game. I forgot to bring it up, but the fact that he said that he did not even watch Bucks games, the only time he watched them was on highlights, and the only reason why he mentioned Giannis is one of the better players in the NBA, they panned away from the shot, and it was Johnson and Johnson at the table, and you could see Gus mouthing to him to say Giannis Antetokounmpo as one of the guys he watches. That's the type of stuff we can't have. We're a top-tier organization.
But wait a second
now.
Here. Hold on. First of all, if you know the history of that guy, that guy did not want to be here. That guy forced the Bucks' hands to get out of here. And if this would have happened in the age of social media today, he would be one of the most hated men in Milwaukee sports history. So
absolutely.
Do remember that's how this whole thing went down. He is a Laker at heart. He will always be a Laker. He doesn't live anywhere near the Midwest. He likes to live out west where it's nice and warm and all that happy, fun stuff. So he's following the Lakers, and that's his deal. And that's how it's always going to be. He's never going to be a Milwaukee Buck at heart. It's just not going to happen.
He doesn't have to be a Milwaukee Buck at heart, but when you're coming to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar night, and he did mention a Laker, he mentioned Kevin Durant, he mentioned LeBron James, and did not mention Giannis, and I feel like that's a little bit disrespectful in our city. And that's the type of thing where you look at a game where we got all these fans in there from the other teams and stuff like that. This is part of the problem. Don't bring this guy back if he don't want a part of us. If he don't want to be part of us, take his number down out the rafters. We know what he did. We can honor him in a different way and stop having Kareem Abdul-Jabbar night if he doesn't want to respect us. And Sparky, real quick, Monday, we don't play the Hawks. We play the Suns.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Hawks. What did I say? Did I say the Suns? I'm sorry. All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Did I say the Suns? I'm sorry. I said the Hawks, I thought, in the first segment of the show. Maybe
you said I heard the Hawks.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Justin, thanks so much for the call. He's fired up about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I don't know, man. I don't really care if that dude is here or not, to be honest with you. Yeah. He didn't want to be here. Why would anybody be surprised he didn't follow this team? I mean, he hadn't been around this team forever, for the longest period of time, and the Bucks owners are trying to bring the family atmosphere back and bringing back a bunch of former guys and having them involved. And again, say whatever you want about Jabbar, but bobbleheads sell, baby. I mean, if you can have a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar bobblehead, people are going to want that. If you can have a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar stuffed doll or something to give away, people are going to want that. If you can have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar anything in a Bucks uniform, people are going to show up regardless if he watches the Bucks or not. So from a marketing perspective, you'd be stupid not to utilize it if you have him because he's a Hall of Famer. And they won a championship when he was here in Milwaukee. You don't have to like him. You don't have to be a fan of him. But you have to understand why they're doing it. And you're not going to take down his jersey just because he doesn't watch Bucks games. And I have no idea if every guy up in the rafters watches Bucks games. My guess would be no, that they all don't watch Bucks games today in all different parts of the country and world that they may live at this point. Again, he's a Laker. That's how it is. That's how it's going to be. Look, the Minnesota Vikings may bring back Brett Favre one day and honor him or whatever the case may be. He's a Packer at heart. That's just what it is. And I'm sure Vikings fans understand that, and that's how it's always going to be. Gary Ellerson played for the Detroit Lions. He's a Packer at heart. You can bring him back, but that's not going to matter. That's not who he is. I think I saw that Tony Smith got brought back for the Phoenix Suns or something like that. Now, I know Tony Smith. I don't know if he considers himself a Phoenix Sun at heart. Guessing not, but maybe. You never know, right? But you see that, you're like, really? The Suns? Tony Smith? Oh, okay, fine, sure, whatever. And so, I mean, again, from that perspective, I don't know. I'm not getting all bent out of shape about it because I know that dude. And not surprising at all that he's not watching the Bucks or in bed with the Bucks one way or the other. And I would imagine, I don't know this either, I'd imagine he probably got paid some money to come on back for that night or whatever the case may be in order to make that appearance. That would be my guess. Maybe he came back for nothing. But it wouldn't surprise me if he got paid to do it as well. All right, Jeff, where are we going next?
Let's go to Ted in Shorewood. Ted, you're on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
Hey, Steve, how's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
Good. Looking at tonight and looking at how serviceable like Miles Plumlee has been, and limited action he had tonight. But does this not reek of a trade with Atlanta for Dorian Dedmon? I mean, honestly,
can you explain to me why everybody wants this dude?
First off, $50 million, 2 years. Obviously, that's
he's cheap. That's true.
I think it's absolutely one of those serviceable contracts that we have for cheap. We also have an opportunity to probably flip maybe Teletovich and just get rid of his contract. Maybe DJ Wilson too. I mean, honestly, what would be the big issue not pulling trigger right now? I mean, don't wait.
They want DeAndre Jordan, man. They only want DeAndre Jordan. If they don't get DeAndre Jordan, I'm guessing they're going to sign Andrew Bogut, and that's going to be the end game. That's my guess of how this whole thing is going to play out. They're going to overpay probably quite a bit to try to get DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, but why not leverage this current contract situation right now and get a guy like Dwayne Dedmon? Obviously, you can unload with L.A., but L.A. is going to look for something substantial in return, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So, a team like Atlanta will eat the contract. Dwayne Dedmon will come here, maybe even Luke Babbitt, something like that. I think this is a perfect opportunity for the Bucks. We just need a serviceable inside guy.
Again,
San Antonio too.
Right.
You know?
There's no risk factor with it whatsoever. None.
Exactly.
None at all. I mean, nobody's going to bemoan them if they make a trade for this dude from the standpoint of, like you said, from a contractual standpoint or otherwise, it's not a huge deal. I mean, he's got a 2-year, $14 million deal is what we're playing with right now as far as he goes going forward. So he's making $6 million this year is the cap hit, $6.3 million
next year, but it's a player option. So he very well could opt out after this year and try and go make more money on the open market this offseason, and then you'd be free and clear of him too moving forward. Then the debate just is, are you okay giving up a young guy versus just signing Andrew Bogut? And that's what they're going to have to determine. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, look, guys, I'm not going to sit here and yell and scream one way or the other if they make a trade for Dwayne Dedmon. At the same time, I'm not going to get all excited and think they're going to win the East if they get Dwayne Dedmon either. But like he said, I mean, from the perspective of, you know, what he brings, he'll bring some toughness, he'll bring some boards, be a garbage man around the rim. That's kind of what he is. Nothing special, but at least you're not stuck with a huge number with him either. So, and Luke Babbitt, yeah, I mean, that's a guy that can shoot the outside shot, and that'd be your younger version of Teletovic, I guess, of a guy that can hit the outside shot. I don't even know what he's shooting this year from outside as far as what his three-point percentage is. They got beat tonight by the Bulls, 113 to 97. Oh, let's see here. Dwayne Dedmon tonight, 23 minutes off the bench, 11 points, 11 rebounds for him. Babbitt only played 5 minutes, hit both threes that he took. Babbitt, what's he shooting? 43% from three this year, which is pretty good. You can't argue about that. He's only playing 17 minutes a night is Luke Babbitt for the Hawks. So, yeah, I mean, him and Dedmon both wouldn't be the end of the world type deal. And Babbitt is only making $1.9 million. There's nothing there for him. That's not going to hurt you financially either. So, yeah, I'd be fine making a move for either one of those two guys. No big issue.
Well, his 11 points off the bench is only five less than the entire Bucks team scored tonight.
Correct. And he only played 20-some minutes for them. But essentially what you're doing is you're playing him over Plumlee. The issue is, maybe it's not an issue, but if they're going to go get one of these guys, Bogut, Dedmon, whoever it's going to be, right? A more inexpensive type player. And you'll get Bogut a lot cheaper than you would Dedmon as far as, you know, paying him $7 million a year. Bogut ain't going to get that. But those guys are going to have to play in front of Thon Maker for it to work. They just are. And I don't know if Jason Kidd's going to be willing to sit Thon Maker on the bench and not play him given nights and play the other backup center in his place. I think that could very well be a sticking point, because if you get DeAndre Jordan, then Thon is still the backup center and he still plays. And DeAndre Jordan plays a lot more minutes than Henson is playing clearly as a starting center. Thon would still play probably 10 to 15 minutes a night, somewhere in that area, 10 to 12 minutes a night. And then the need for that third center wouldn't be as much. Then you could still bring Bogut in if you wanted a couple $1 million and play him on nights when you need that physical presence behind DeAndre Jordan. But if you don't get DeAndre Jordan and you're just trying to get another body, because then the debate is, okay, Dedmon or Henson. Now, obviously, most people that love Dedmon, well, he's on more physical than Henson and so forth. I get that. But you have to convince your head coach that he hasn't upgraded that position. And then if he goes to the start, now Henson goes to the bench, again, that leaves Thon Maker not playing. Is he going to be comfortable with that, the head coach of this team? Because they've put a lot of time, and I mean a lot of time, into Thon Maker off the court to try to get him to where they want him to be. And as far as diet, workouts, he's working out multiple times a day. He's doing everything Giannis did, and they're waiting for him to take that next jump. And some hoped it would be this year. Clearly, it's not going to be this year. So now I think the hope is that it's next year if they don't trade him. Where to next, Jeff?
Let's go to Big Marco. You're on with Sparky.
What's up, Big Marco?
Hey, what's happening? First and foremost, I did catch the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar night, and I'm just playing it off, dude, for senility, because he didn't look like, you know, he's there. He looks like, you know, he's starting to get old. And, you know, another thing is that if Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was so great, why isn't he a part of the Lakers organization? They don't want anything to do with him.
Well, nobody's talking about him being great necessarily as an individual. You know, we're just talking about.
I guess, you know, I'm going to get to my point. My point is when are we as Bucks fans going to start holding the ownership accountable? The honeymoon is over, is as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know, if they brick and can't get DeAndre Jordan and they can't go out and you know, put together, you know, a conscious, serviceable economic route, because we still need to be able to sign Jabari. We still need to be able to sign some of our other players that we want to hold on to. I'm not saying that this team is, you know, forever, you know, going to be the team that's going forward in the future other than maybe Giannis. I mean, because everybody can go, in my opinion. But, you know, first and foremost, you know, we need to do something about this Jason Kidd situation and all that stuff. But I know that he's, you know, in love with the owners and they're in love with him. But we need to bring in a basketball-related people. I honestly think, too, that the horse hiring was, you know, a knee-jerk reaction, and it's starting to show. And, I mean, we wouldn't even, in my opinion, even if we had Giannis and our boy Brogdon,
yeah.
I don't think we would have been able to beat Philadelphia tonight.
It would have been a hell of a lot closer if we had him. I don't know if we win, but it would be a lot closer. Thanks for the call. But again, Big Marco, I mean, okay. He said, I don't care about the rest of the roster, just keep Giannis. At some point, it's going to come down to that question. If they get Jabari Parker back, and they say, let's say they add a Deadman or whoever at center, right? They don't get DeAndre Jordan, but they add one of these other guys. And let's say they miss the playoffs, which I don't think will happen. Then there is going to be big moves coming. I believe that. They're not going to sit with the same roster going into next season. Now, whether or not Jason Kidd is still the coach, I have no idea. But there will be a huge roster shakeup if they miss the playoffs. Again, will Kidd come back? I don't know. But I do know that there will be a huge roster shakeup if, with all those pieces, they still can't make the playoffs with Bledsoe, Jabari, Middleton, Giannis, plus the center that you acquire, and you still miss the playoffs, there will be huge changes to this roster. Guaranteed. The coach, what happens to him? I have no idea. 116 and 94, let's do X Factor of the game.
There's always something unexpected that changes the game. Here's tonight's X Factor of the game.
Brought to you by Bryant & Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 6 junior college sports. Learn more at bcsbobcats.com.
X Factor of the game tonight, no Giannis, no Malcolm Brogdon. Turnovers there to start the fourth quarter, and that was pretty much it for the Milwaukee Bucks as they lose tonight 116 to 94 to the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. Let me ask you this. If you were Jason Kidd, what players that aren't playing currently, you know, 15, 20 minutes a night, would you play significantly more than they're seeing action right now? And whose spot in the rotation would they take? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Let's get tonight's Dave and Buster's shot of the game. Dave and Buster's Wauwatosa, the only place to eat, drink, play, and watch sports. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, shot of the game in a 116-94 loss by the Milwaukee Bucks tonight to the Philadelphia 76ers. The Suns coming up Monday night at the BMO Harris Bradley Center for the Bucks. And again, even without Giannis Monday night, and they're not going to have him Monday night, they should still win that game. Brogdon, don't know. Personal reasons there. We'll see what happens. This whole right knee soreness thing with Giannis is interesting. I don't know if anybody saw the quotes from the Bucks talking about how whether he plays 20 minutes or 40 minutes doesn't matter for his knee. Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but that seems hard to believe from my standpoint. It just does. And they're saying that this is a career thing for him possibly going forward, that he's going to have to deal with this the rest of his career. So it's going to be like Braun apparently, except at a much younger age, where he's going to end up with scheduled games off, is how I'm seeing this now, or how I'm reading it throughout the years of his career. So now you're talking about a star player who is just never going to be able to play a full slate of games anymore going forward because of this right knee. Which, I mean, isn't a big deal. As long as he's ready and able to go for the playoffs and doesn't miss playoff games, it doesn't really matter. But still, that's not good. All right, shot of the game courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Jeff Orlovsky picked it, and this is what he picked.
And underlay, the Bucks have it. Plumlee! Good thing he was late. Hot jam for Marshall Plumlee.
I was wondering if he had those Plumlee hops like Miles and Mason.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Marcus Johnson's excited about the Plumlee brothers. Nothing gets me excited about the Plumlee brothers. Mason doesn't get me excited. Miles doesn't get me excited. Marshall got me excited from the standpoint that he's more physical than the other two centers on the basketball team. So that got me excited. He's got a nice little hairdo going on there, too.
He does have nice
real
hair.
Nice. His hair is very nice. Yeah.
He entered the game, and it took him 7 seconds to pick up his first foul.
Fine.
7 seconds.
I don't care. He's coming off the bench. Got six. Use him. Doesn't matter to me. That don't bother me at all. As long as you make them count. I mean, if you're going to foul somebody, make sure they know you fouled them. Don't barely graze them and get a whistle called. So there you go. Shot of the game, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Again, they lose 116-94 to the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. Question on the table that we're asking tonight is, what player or players would you like to see get more time in the rotation and in place of who? Real nice and simple question here on a Saturday night for you. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Jeff Orlovsky, who is it for you?
For me, it's, Tony Snell. I think they seem to get away from him often, early and often. You know, he had the game a couple days ago, knocked in 4 3-pointers, never saw the ball since.
And then Jason Kidd said, well, hey, I mean, they're going to have to figure out how to get him the ball. And I lost my mind, said, no, you can tell them to get him the ball. You're the coach. You can do that.
Absolutely.
Okay, going on.
Either him or Brown, because Brown showed tremendous, you know, I was impressed with him today. Hit a couple nice 3-pointers. It's definitely.
Hit four.
Yeah.
Hit four threes.
He's impressive.
For me, I think Sterling Brown should be in the starting lineup going forward with Bledsoe. Brogdon and Snell should be coming off the bench. I would encourage Sterling Brown not to fall in love with a 3-point shot and become a one-trick pony, because he's not. He can get to the rim. He can create. He's more than good enough to do that. So, if it's Sterling Brown and Bledsoe in the backcourt with Middleton, Giannis, and Henson, I'm fine with that. Then that now leaves you with Brogdon to go along with Dellavedova. I'm going to throw something else out here. Xavier Munford can't be all that bad if he did what he's been doing in the Gatorade League, folks. Just can't be. I know Kilpatrick's not this bad to only be playing 5-6 minutes tonight either. So for me, one of those two guys have got to play more minutes. We haven't seen Mumford except out of garbage time, and he took two shots. But Mumford or Kilpatrick, one of those two guys, have to be the third member off the bench, I think, because they're not going to play Vaughn. I'm done hoping for that. That's just never going to happen. So one of those two other guys have to be a scoring guard for this Bucks team off the bench to go along with Brogdon and Tony Snell. Give me somebody else to go off this bench that can score the basketball consistently. I do not want to see 10, 12 guys a night. That's not what I want to see. And that's not what most of you want to see either. Or at least every other year you haven't wanted to see 10, 11 guys play. Now he's playing an eight-man rotation for the most part. Kind of 8, 9, somewhere in that area. And everybody wants all these other guys to play. But for me, Brown goes into the starting lineup. That's the end of it. Snell comes off the bench with Brogdon. Whoever your backup center is going to be, Maker, Plumlee, or whoever you acquire, fine. And then see what happens. And they're not going to sit Dellavedova either, so you know he's going to get his minutes. But Jason Terry, Rashad Vaughn, DJ Wilson, those guys aren't going to get time. And that's it. And that's just going to have to be accepted by everybody involved. And then it's going to have to come down to Mumford or Kilpatrick. And I'm guessing Mumford will go back to the Gatorade League as soon as they get back Malcolm Brogdon. So it's probably going to have to be Kilpatrick. But they need more scoring off the bench, which has been my whole point all year long, and it hasn't changed at all. You still need more scoring. And that is where the Teletovich thing is absolutely killing this basketball team. All right, let's get to a sports flash. Before we do that, let's do defensive play of the game.
What defensive play stood out? Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113, Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
Defensive play of the game, highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin, pick by Jeff Orlovsky.
Back cutters, he gets double teamed, you dig back, he'll make you pay. Especially when a J.J. Redick's on the floor. Good job, Bledsoe.
Second turnover committed by Philadelphia.
They didn't commit many turnovers there in the first half. It was the second half kind of where things fell apart for them a little bit from the turnover perspective, and the Bucks defense picked up. 116-94, Sixers over the Bucks. And our guy Jeff Orlovsky now will give you the sports flash. We'll come back. We'll hear from Bucks head coach Jason Kidd here on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show, presented to you by Palermo's Frozen King Cheese Pizza with a half a pound of cheese.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show.
Let's hear from the Bucks head coach. It's time for the Coach's Corner.
Sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE.
This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Oh yeah, buddy. Bucks classic right now. Julius Erving, Bobby Jones for the Sixers, taking on the Bucks, Terry Cummings and crew. Turn it on your TV. Turn it on your TV. It's an old game from CBS at the Mecca. It's on Fox Sports Wisconsin. Those of you that weren't alive to see these guys back in the day, the Bucks, you should turn it on. I think you'd really appreciate it. Charles Barkley's out there. Yeah. Pretty good game. You remember watching those games back in the day?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was an actually televised game. That was on CBS.
Yeah, I think you're 4 months older than me, so we're right in the same boat.
Right in the same boat, absolutely. All right, let's hear from Bucks head coach Jason Kidd after the Bucks lose tonight, 116-94. This courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin.
I thought the guys fought. Everybody was into the game. It's a 4-point game going into the fourth quarter. We get two good looks at threes that just didn't drop for us. I thought the guys played as hard as they could. We were shorthanded, but the guys went out there and thought, hey, look, we can find a way to win this game. And they played hard. The turnovers hurt us there to kind of start that fourth quarter.
What was the key for you guys in the third quarter? You guys got to turn the ball over 11 times. Turn the game around a little bit.
Yeah, I thought the guys, the deflections, being in the right spot on the defense, again, Chris, had a triple-double. He did everything he could do. You look at Sterling, you look at Bled, maybe didn't shoot the ball extremely well, but came up with steals there in that third quarter for us to get some easy baskets. So a lot of positives in this tonight's game that we can take from. Again, our energy and effort was at a very high level.
How hard is it when you're kind of digging out of that deficit? You have 16 points early that you just keep kind of digging all game long.
Yeah, it's not the deficit is one thing, but it's a 48-minute game, and for us, understanding on the road, it just got to be patient, and we're right there. I think it's, again, a 4-point game. That's where you want to be on the road. Understand the pressure's on them, but I thought the guys did a great job of fighting tonight, giving themselves a chance to win.
Does a game like this teach a bunch of guys when you don't have some people and you still fight through a game like this and battle back
against
the team?
Yeah, understanding we've played without guys before, and it's always been a close game, or we've been right there. We just have made mistakes with turning the ball over, or we can't rebound. But I thought we got better, tonight without some of the guys.
Seemed to bring some solid minutes off the
bench there. What did you see from him? Yeah, he was great. I thought his energy and effort was at a very high level. I thought he was, for his first game, I thought he did extremely well.
What has it taken how Tom Maker has been playing this year? Do you think his learning curve compared to last year is on par?
Yeah, I think this is his second year, and so for Thon, it's going to, he's still learning the game to play at the highest level, and he's still going in the right direction, so he's a positive. Again, he still has a long ways to go, but he's still someone that can help us win games.
Now, the other thing about this is that's Jason Kidd on Fox Sports Wisconsin. The other part of this equation is how much do you trust the Bucks coaching staff to develop young guys and to get them better? And Jason Terry, when he's been on in the past, has talked about he thinks they do just a great job of developing young players and getting them to take steps forward. And I realize there's frustration on Thon Maker, but I think Middleton has developed over the course of time in Milwaukee. Giannis has certainly developed over the course of his time in Milwaukee, too. And then you look at even a veteran guy like Eric Bledsoe, and there was a story the other day talking about Kidd and Bledsoe talking at the end of practice about some things, and they talked to Bledsoe about it, and pretty much Kidd was just talking to him about being a leader on the floor and what goes along with being a point guard at that level and how to lead. And Kid then also mentioned that it seems like everybody is worried about not getting having anybody unhappy with them. That everybody is more concerned about being everybody's friend and not about doing what you have to do and getting everybody else to follow you the way that he wants you to follow him. So it almost seems to me like, I could be reading it wrong, that Kid almost wants some friction here amongst this team to get them kickstarted a little bit and going in the right direction. Because obviously there is no friction. They all get along. They're all on the same page. And that's, I don't know if that's not what he wants, but as far as how to win, how to play the right way, how to bring the energy every night and so forth, that's a big issue. But energy or not, this defense isn't very good, and it's not going to be very good because they can't play it the way that they want to play it. And because of that, you're going to have to outscore guys like I've been talking about, and that's going to have to continue to be the case. And that is why I've been saying tonight, Sterling Brown needs to start. Enough is enough of this stuff. Just get him out on the floor starting. Let Tony Snell take more shots on that second unit with Malcolm Brogdon. And then work you in some Sean Kilpatrick or Munford. But again, I got a feeling Munford's going back down to the Gatorade League here shortly, so it's not going to matter. But if Munford does stay, Munford or Kilpatrick, get them some run. Get some of their offense going. They both could score the basketball and see what happens. And then go from there. 116-94, the Sixers over the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. Let's check out the ruler of the backboards.
You're listening to the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show. Now it's time to pick the ruler of the backboard. Brought to you by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, loaded with a half pound of Wisconsin cheese. It truly is the ruler of pizza.
116-94, Sixers over the Bucks tonight. Ruler of the backboards, Palermo's King Frozen Cheese Pizza. Chris Middleton with his triple-double tonight, 23 points, 14 rebounds, and 10 assists. 14 of the 35 rebounds were from Chris Middleton. The next one with 6 rebounds was Marshall Plumlee. He had 6 rebounds. He played 9 minutes only. He had 6 boards and only 9 minutes. Henson played 23 minutes and had 4. Thon Maker played 16 minutes. How many rebounds do you think he had? 3, you say? No, he didn't have 3. 2? Mm-mm. 1? Nope. Not a single rebound in 16 minutes play tonight for Thon Maker. Not a single rebound.
That's crazy.
Dude, I like Thon, but, dude, you got to do more than that. 16 minutes, you got to get a you got to get some rebounds, buddy. I mean, you have to. If you're not hitting shots, you have to do something to be on the floor. Blocking shots, rebounding, steals, something. Look, Dellavedova, he don't score all that much. But if you look up at his numbers every night, he's got boards, he's got assists, got a steal or two. Normally doesn't have a bunch of turnovers. And then when they are turnovers, you just shake your head at some of his turnovers. I'd give it a shot. And that is going to be, like I said earlier, that's going to be the sticking point here. Will Kidd be willing to sit Thon Maker and not play him in place of another center?
Well, we can all see that Thon, you know, has kind of regressed a little bit this year. Mm-hmm. So instead of working out twice a day, you know, I would be glad to take him under my wing. I could put weight on that kid in no time.
Jeff, listen to me. He eats. They make him eat.
Oh, I know. I know.
For an hour straight.
I know.
For an hour.
But
Jeff, I can't eat for like 10 minutes and I'm done. An hour? There's no way. The amount of food they put into that dude, and then the amount of food he burns working out, playing, practicing, and everything else, it's a struggle at this point. And he's at like 220, I think, 215, 220, something like that.
I'm just saying, give me 2 weeks with that kid. He'll be at 265, no problem. He follows the pipe bombs fitness regimen.
I don't think so.
Here we go.
I love you, but I don't think that's going to work, man. I just don't think it's going to work. 116-94, Sixers over the Bucks. Up next, we'll talk with Gary Wolfel here on The Fan.
Now, a Bucks postgame update from Fan Insider Gary Wolfel. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
Bucks come up losers tonight to the Sixers as expected. 116-94. No Giannis, no Malcolm Brogdon. Can't imagine anybody thought they'd win this game. Let's see what Gary Wolfel thought coming into this one. Gary, did you think the Bucks had a chance to win this one when you found out there was no Giannis and no Brogdon?
Nope. Wow. No, I thought they had less of a chance of winning than the Vikings did in the playoff game last week. I mean, they had no chance unless Eric Bledsoe went out and got 50 points, you know, but other than that, no chance.
No, and they were still in it, though, at the start of the fourth quarter. So even after having no chance, giving up 37 points in the first, they still had a chance there to start the fourth. But, again, three turnovers early in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden you go from a two-point lead to a 10-point or a two-point deficit to a 10-point deficit, and it was pretty much curtains after that.
Yeah, you know, the crazy thing is you look at Philadelphia and you see Embiid and you see Saric and Simmons, and then, you know, they got Fultz, you know, coming back. And then you realize they have probably like $30 million to play with over the summer.
Yeah, they can get a max player.
Oh, my Lord. They could be just absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely, ridiculously good.
All right, let's talk about the question on the night. Of guys that aren't in this rotation regularly night to night, is there a player or two you'd like to see in the rotation? And if so, at the expense of who?
No, not really. I guess, you know, Snell, I mean, you know, if they put him back in the starting lineup like they did tonight, he's the only one. And the only reason being is that he's a complimentary player. I mean, it kind of reminds me of, like, when the Bucks had Mark Pope, remember him?
Yeah, he was on that team that made the run of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, George Karl believed that they had enough scores. He wanted a complimentary player, somebody that was willing to do all the dirty work, and that's what he did. And Tony Snell could be that player to some degree.
When you talk about Sterling Brown, I said tonight, if it were me, he'd go into my starting rotation or my starting lineup along with Bledsoe. And Brogdon, along with Tony Snell, both those guys would be coming off of the bench. And then I'm going to try and get Kilpatrick out there for more minutes to get more scoring off the bench.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. You know, the only problem is I don't think Malcolm Brogdon will be content coming off the bench. And Tony Snell told me the other night, he said that it didn't matter to him if he started or not. But I think with Malcolm, if he was honest with you, I don't think he'd be happy about that.
No, I don't think so either. But at this point, though, I think you have to kind of sell it of, look, I need a point guard in my second unit. And with all due respect to Dellavedova, he can't score. So I need you on the second unit, along with Snell and Kilpatrick, to carry my scoring on my second unit to go along with whoever else may be out there at this point, Giannis or whoever.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, getting back to Brogdon, you know, his contract coincides with Bledsoe's. And, you know, Bledsoe is going to ask for a ton of money, you know, being a starting point guard. And, you know, Brogdon's going to say, hey, if you're going to give Bledsoe that kind of money, you know, I want that kind of money too. So, you know, something's going to give, you know. And I would imagine the give is going to be trading Malcolm Brogdon.
Right. And that's the one thing that if you look at this, because there's now people on the bandwagon of trading for Deadman from the Atlanta Hawks, who's at $14 million, but as a player opt-out after this year, otherwise he's still making around $6.5 to $7 million next year, which isn't totally expensive, but he's a physical guy that can rebound, doesn't have much offense at all, so it's going to be kind of like Marshall Plumlee, who, by the way, I thought played pretty good in the first half.
Yeah, he did. I mean, you know, he gets opportunity and tried to make the best of it. I still think they're going to end up with Bogut at some point. It's not going to happen, you know, before the trading deadline. I was told by two sources that he had told teams that he wanted to wait to see what happened with these teams, if they got any centers. But I was told that the Bucks are one of four or five teams that he is seriously considering, and he'll go from there.
What kind of minutes does he want to play?
Not much. I mean, he knows where he's at in his career. And but the only stipulation he's making is that he wants to play for a playoff team.
Right.
And I was told that all these teams that he's looking at now are playoff teams, so that won't be an issue.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out going forward. What did you make of the Cavaliers today giving up 148 points to the Thunder?
They got issues, you know. You know, everybody's saying, hey, LeBron, you know, will turn it down when he wants, and maybe he will, but they got some internal issues. I saw that a couple weeks ago when they came to Milwaukee, and Tyronn Lue had a press conference before the game outside the locker room, and LeBron James and Dwayne Wade strolled out and cranked up their music, not even 4 feet from where Tyronn Lue was talking. I mean, very disrespectful, and you could tell. You know, those guys aren't on the same page.
Nope, sure not. Wonder if they're calling for Tyronn Lue to be fired in Cleveland like they are here for Kidd. That was Kidd. They gave up 148 points today. There'd be people protesting in front of the Bradley Center. Thanks so much for coming, guy, Gary Wolfel. I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Take care.
You betcha. There he is, Gary Wolfel, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Great Midwest Bank, committed to personalized common sense lending since 1935. When you're in the market to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, discover the benefits of simply local banking. Visit greatmidwestbank.com.
That'll do it for the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show, presented to you by Palermo's King Frozen Cheese Pizza. Bucks lose tonight 116-94. Tomorrow morning, Castle Lane Spare Time Bowling Show with Kyle Troop. Can't wait to talk to him. 9:15 tomorrow morning here on The Fan. Enjoy your weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.